Meeting of the town of Discovery Bay to order. Roll call, please.
President Lee.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Mayer.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Would you all join me in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now is the time for public comment. If anybody has a comment on the issue that's not on tonight's board agenda, could you please come up and give up a 3-minute time limit. Any public comment, please, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen. We missed our golf day.
It was a little wet.
It was a little wet.
It was open.
I played 9 holes. Before it started raining real hard. My name is Bill Helfrich. I'm our resident here in Discovery Bay. Regarding public comment, I'm requesting a reconsideration of the meter installation project by putting it on a future meeting agenda to allow adequate public comment. It appears to me that the property owners of Discovery Bay are not fully aware or have adequate understanding of the meter installation project. I think additional public comment is necessary. The town of Discovery Bay has known of the state-mandated requirement to install new water meters for many years. These installations are required to be completed before January 1st, 2025. There still is almost 8 years left to get these meters installed. Additional discussion for a phased-in or other installation methodology should be allowed in these meters.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Yes, sir.
Board, I've been a resident out here of Discovery Bay since 1983, and first I'd like to say that I'm not opposed to having the water meter. I think that's a good idea, and I've been happy with the work that the board and the town has done here in the community over the years. But I'm sure the public notifications were made on this, but I wasn't aware of them. The first I heard about the $900 fee was an article in the newspaper the first week of January, and then about a week subsequent to that, I actually received the document from the board, which explained that each resident here was going to have to pay $906. I think that had that document been sent out, perhaps they had obviously, we might have had a much more thorough discussion before decisions were made on this. And I would agree with Mr. Helfrich that this needs a little further public discussion. And I would concur with them on putting on the agenda a little further on. Again, we have 7 years before compliance is required by the state. And as a result of that, I can't see the reason why we couldn't do a phase-in. We have seven projects, 7 years, one project a year, given under our current tax revenues that are coming in, and whatever meter revenues will be coming in as the homes are metered. So the only other thing I would say is that I'm not sure how the board would charge us interest if we elect not to pay the entire fee. I'm just not sure how that works, and I would certainly like some clarification on that. It doesn't seem, you know, the money that this board has belongs to everyone in this room, and it's earned by everyone in this room. And the board's position shouldn't be to make any kind of a profit from the residents. So that's what I'd like to say, and thank you very much for your time.
Could I just have you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Jerry Moore.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yes.
Any other public comment?
Mr. President, I just wanted to note, I didn't want to interrupt the previous two speakers, but this item is on the agenda, so this is a public comment period for items not on today's agenda.
Anything else not on the agenda for public comment?
The first speaker is going to point out that his was not specific to the financing, which was on his agenda. He's asking about the consideration associated with the reconsideration of doing the meter project in general.
So, thanks. Any other public comment? Hearing none, we'll close public comment and we'll move to area agency reports. I do not see the chief here. So I will move on to monthly water and wastewater report. Beely.
I don't hear anything.
In the audience, can you hear us?
I don't think any. Yours on, Bob? I guess
yours are on.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Oh, for the month of December, continue our safe practices. Actually, this month, we're talking about maybe 8 years. No lost time, no accidents. Safety training continues. All monthly reports are submitted on time on the water and wastewater side. Water production, we had 45 million gallons produced for the month of December. All vaccine samples come back negative. You can see here we're December, we're pretty much been running about the same for the last 3 years in production on the water side. We had around 32% reduction in water. We're still doing good on the conservation side. All parameters and wastewater were well within our limits. All lift stations are running. We did 53,000 feet in our sewer line assessment so far this year and inspected 221 manholes in the month of December. And staff continues to work hard to keep maintenance to a minimum and things are going well.
Question for you, Bernie. In, with the rains we've been having recently, have you seen any uptick in the flow?
Just a little, not much.
So ionized, not
the issue.
Correct, thank you. Any other questions?
Yes. During the meet and greet before I was elected, there was a question that came up from the residents. Who flushes the fire hydrant? Under your water services, I see you have a call and fire hydrant flushing.
Correct.
Okay, so do you do that? Is that your responsibility?
Yes, it is. We do that periodically. It depends on what time of year, what's happening, where they're at, and where we're at.
How often are they flushed?
At least quarterly. It was kind of hauled back a little bit, quite a bit during the water conservation because of the water loss, but now that's been. You'll see more and more as the weather changes and it starts getting nicer, we'll be doing more in the summertime. But it's usually done at night when we have less call for water. So we have some automatic flushes we use now to kick off and on early in the morning.
Thanks, Frank. Bernie, I just want to point out that when I got on this board about 7 or 8 years ago, that I think we had a backlog of work orders of 100 and something.
Yes.
It was a big issue, and I just want to commend you guys on, I'm looking down here at five that are over 30 that are probably problem childs, and I just want to commend Billy for you guys staying on top of those backlog of work orders. So it was a long, hard road to get there, but thanks for maintaining that.
Thank you, and those fluctuate depending on parts when they come in, but the staff does an excellent job and keeps it up maintained.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Next item, let's see, item E, consent calendar.
Thank you. Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a public comment, please.
Sure.
With respect to the consent calendar, E3, I know it's only a $475 item, but a contract is a contract. I request that you do not authorize the payment of this $425 to Bob Murray and Associates for additional expenses related to the general manager recruitment. In your executive summary attached to the report, the staff is recommending that they pay that, and they are admitting that it's in excess of the maximum amount of the contract. So again, a contract is a contract. You pay the minimum of $25,000. Enough is enough.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'd like to reorder the business and action items. We have a number of people here I know that want to speak with regard to water meters. It's on the new item number three up to the first item to move forward with the business and action items. So with that, item number three, which is now item one, public hearing, staff, please.
Thank you. This is a public hearing item presented for your review and consideration to adopt revised resolution 2017-1, approving proceedings to finance improvements to the district's municipal water and wastewater system, approving the issuance of water and wastewater revenue bonds by the Discovery Bay Public Finance Authority, and approving related documents and actions. For the benefit of the public and for your review, I would like to provide a summary background on what's got us here. As I'm still the rookie here, I brought staff for support, and I invite them to correct me if I say something that's not quite right. Background. State law requires all residential water consumers be on a metered system by the year 2025. Here in Discovery Bay, the developments of Discovery Bay West, Centex, and Ravenswood received smart water meters at the time of their construction. The cost to purchase and install those meters were paid by the developer and likely added on to the original purchase price of the property. These water consumers are charged for water based on what they actually use. Currently, there are about 3,531 water users who consume water without the benefit of a meter. This estimate was established by using the county parcel tax map and by staff observations. Unmetered water users pay a flat rate charge on their property tax bill regardless of how much water they actually consume. 1 gallon or 1,000 gallons, the rate stays the same. We are currently underway on installing smart water meters. The installs are mostly residential, but there are a few vacant lots that are connected. Homes that sit on two lots will receive separate meters for each town water connection. The cost of this project breaks down as this. Cost of products are fixed, and that amount is $1,288,720. The cost of construction by the contract bid is fixed at $1,391,490. There is a construction contingency, which is another pot, that's estimated at 9.4%, and that's a total of $131,149. All other staffing and support is an estimate at $300,000. This brings the total estimated project total to $3,111,359. The estimated project total takes into consideration that meter installation construction variables exist for each individual location. Some installations will be less challenging and less expensive than others. In some instances, the existing water meter box can be used, and in other cases, the box will need to be replaced with a larger box. Time and expense at each location can vary based on the difficulties of impediments, such as encasement of the existing meter box and hardscape, or plant barriers. They vary. Properties which have extreme construction impairments that would go beyond the normal range would be considered excess costs not included in the project estimate and are the responsibility of that homeowner. At the board workshop on November 29th, the board was briefed on installation cost variables and provided some resident payback options. After consideration and deliberation, this board concurred by consensus that costs would be spread equally among those residents who received a new meter, and payback to our water reserves would be a three-year plan built on the tax roll. At the board meeting last December 21st, Interim General Manager Katsouris suggested that the board consider shifting the costs of the water meter completion project out of reserve funds and add it to bond funding up for consideration for the wastewater filtration project. At the board meeting of January 4th, the board discussed options and considered whether or not to fund the water meter project in whole or in part with bond funding and or reserves, and considered various payback options for residents receiving the new water meter. The board decided to finance the water meter project in full through bond funding. The board further decided that the new water meters could be paid either in full at no interest or over a 10-year period with interest. The new meter cost of $906.20 was calculated based on rounding up the total estimated project cost to $3.2 million, then dividing that by the estimated 3,531 new meter installs. An estimated install of 906.26 at a 10-year estimated interest rate of 4.5%, and that's just an estimated rate, the monthly payment would be about $9.40 a month, which comes to $112.80 annually and $1,128 at conclusion, which means at the end of the 10-year period, total interest would be $221.74. This brings us to tonight. Before you for consideration and adoption is revised resolution 2017-01. In essence, passing this resolution gives authorization to the Public Finance Authority to issue bonds that would finance the $7.4 million wastewater filtration project underway at the wastewater treatment plant number 2 and the $3.11 million water meter completion project also currently underway. The principal amount sought under this bond of $11,500,000 constitutes a not to exceed ceiling, which gives wiggle room for what the exact cost may or may not be at the time of issuance. In a motion to pass resolution 2017-01, please note that this is a revised version of the resolution from what was originally sent out in the packet. And in the audience, to answer your questions, I don't know if Saul made it here. He had a flat.
He did. Oh, he's right there.
Hey, Saul. Our finance manager, Dina, our bond counsel, Brian Quint, and our bond underwriters, including Nikki Talman. So with that, we would entertain any questions.
Okay, before we move on to questions, I have some cards here for public comments. I'll call them up in order I got them. Steve Orgain.
Hi, I'm Steve Orgain, resident here of Discovery Bay. My first comment would be that if it wasn't for being involved in next door, I'd know nothing about this project. I feel that the residents of Discovery Bay were not represented well in getting information on this. I learned most of everything about this project through the comments by Mike Davies. From what I've heard from him, I believe that most of my questions have been answered, but I really wish that a better communication would have been made between what's going on here with the meters and what's going to actually happen. I'm a part-time resident down here. I welcome the meters because I think my water usage is much less than those who are full-time residents, obviously. But I think going forward, I would really appreciate better communication so I know what's going on. I think all the homeowners should have been sent something via the mail service. I shouldn't rely on being part of next door. Thank you.
Thank you.
One quick question. Up to today, have you received a brochure from the town at all on the water meter?
No.
Frank Visitin?
I did submit about 20-some questions, which I would like written answers to. I was, glad you guys put one back there. I would like written answers to these, and I would like to have them by a meeting that's coming up in the next 2 weeks, like an academy. And I hope everybody out here will read these and ask them too. I've got a lot more questions, but basically the one that's driving me nuts is, if you have a $6 million surplus, why are we getting a loan for another $20 million? That's an expense that we don't need. The other thing is that if you look at the water code, it says that is a suitable water meter. That doesn't mean it's a smart meter. It says in order to meet the law, we can put anything out here that is suitable. So I would really suggest that we another program is to
have the
people involved. Could you answer your question?
Mr. President, if I could.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Have you looked online? There's a section frequently asked questions. So when I saw your questions, I went online and I thought a number of those were answered online. And I suggest you go there and at least look at that. Might trim it down and get some of your answers.
I went online. I've seen everything you have and different codes, different PUCs talk about different questions I had. I realized looking at some of your, what type of a public utility we are, but I wanted to hear you guys say it's only on the building department because the tax rules do different things. They're not being the PUC and the watch office. They say different things. Some say you shall have it installed, some say may have it installed, and the city of doesn't bid it for free.
Mr. President, if I can, just for the board's edification and for the record. So if the gentleman would like to turn his request into a public document request, the Discovery Bay Community Service District could provide documents that are responsive to his request. But in terms of asking or demanding a written response to each one of the questions, we don't provide that. And historically, we've not done that, as if everybody submitted 20 questions, the general manager would have nothing to do but respond to written questions. So I love the suggestion. I think most of the questions, as the general manager I went over before the meeting, are answered and answerable on the website and through the frequently answered questions, as well as the brochure that you mentioned that was being mailed out. So if you could take a look at that, and then if you've still got additional questions, feel free to call the office and ask those questions.
Thanks. Excuse me. The next speaker is Terry Laughlin.
I basically have the same question as the last time. I'd like to know why we're going to spend or borrow $3 million when we have $6 million sitting in our coffers for each spend. Who can tell me that?
When we get back to the discussion. Thank you. Any other public comment? No?
I oppose the issuance of the bonds to pay for the water meter installation project. You know that. I've said that about four times in a couple, three different meetings. I felt that there are sufficient reserves to pay for the water meter installation. Additionally, considering the request for reconsideration of the meter project, as an agenda item at upcoming meetings, authorizing the bond and sales agreement might be premature at this time.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Mr. Public.
I've owned homes out here for the last 16 years, and I also didn't know anything about this until next door, and I'd like to know why that happens and how the board is able to vote on things without us having sufficient information about it to give you our input on it. I'm totally in favor of having water meters. I've objected for 16 years for me to pay living alone. the same price as somebody with a 6,000 square foot house with 10 people living in there. That's not fair to anybody. You should pay for what you use. The information I got from the next door says so that some of these installations will only go cost $100. $500 of the homes, it says, would only cost that much. $2,530 of the homes would only cost $290, and $500 of the homes would cost $950. What I just heard now, it's all averaging out to where we're all going to pay $950. I own four houses out here. I'd like to know which one of my houses is under which price tag. Because I would think that maybe I should go to these people and say, I have the $100 one. I'll pay you the $100. You fix mine. Or maybe I could do it myself. I don't want to pay $950 for four houses when I may only be the $100. If I'm the 951, that's my problem too. But for you to take it arbitrarily, decide that we're going to take, besides whether or not we have a surplus, that you're going to decide that we're all going to average it out for everybody, I don't know how you can do that without having us have a lot to say about that.
Thank you. Could you identify yourself, too?
My name is Bart McDonald.
Bart McDonald. Thanks, Bart.
Any other public comment? Yes, sir. Please come on.
Hello, my name is Todd Combs, and I am a new resident. We moved in 2 years ago, so this is my first time here, and not really sure how this all works. But I, too, was completely unaware of this until just yesterday, when again, similar, I did learn about it on Nextdoor. I agree that we should have additional time to communicate with the residents of Discovery Bay, so that they have time to respond better, because I think many of us were caught unaware about this. I think many of us know about protection for meters, but we did not realize the costs and how this is going to pay out. So I'm not against flood meters, but I think additional time is that I do agree with the previous gentleman that the cost of $900 seems excessive to me at face value, the full background of it, and the averaging I believe is also an issue. My gut instinct tells me that this should be possible to be cheaper, and also I think if you do go to the reserve that I just heard about, that I agree is something that is worth consideration as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Public comment? Can you step up?
Why are you blowing me up like that? I'm a loser compared to you.
My name is Kip Sorensen. I've been here since 1987. I built my own house, put the sewer line in, put the water line in. I want to be able to put that smart meter in my own box. And I don't want to pay you guys $906 to do it when I can do it myself. If I can do it, some of you people can't do it, but I do this for my living. This is all wrong. You can't charge us $906. What's wrong with you people? There's something wrong with you guys. Glue, that's all it takes. You gotta, I don't know. Something's wrong with you. What's wrong with you guys? You want us to pay $906?
In the back.
Please.
Who's got the microphone?
My name is Mikhail Zagorodsky, and I live here in Discovery Bay. And my comment is, by law, we're supposed to do it by 2025. What's the rush? I don't understand. If somebody can explain, I'll try. But the point is that I think that it wasn't so given the proper thought all this stuff, because the Discovery Bay water use is completely different from, say, Brentwood or other places. We don't buy water from outside supply. We own the wells. So we build these wells, we keep the people, we work in them, we have all this infrastructure. And if somebody comes here, let's say, like once a month or on the weekend or whatever, if he turns for a couple hours water, and he uses, let's say, 1% of what other people use, it doesn't mean that it costs for him less. If he, of course, if you pay for usage, yes. But you've got to build a new well now, right? Who's paying? We all paying for this. We've got to maintain it. We've got to, but water, when it's all done and we pump the water, it doesn't matter how much somebody uses. So what it's like, a pump will work another minute, because anyway you've got to maintain this pressure and everything and keep all this equipment, keep all the infrastructure working. That's my point. So probably maybe it's not exactly the right way to go with the meters at all. So we have still 7 years. We can figure it out in 7 years. And make sure that it's fair and nobody will complain, because somebody said, oh, okay, so I come once a week, it will be for me much less. No, because if these people pay less, that means that somebody is supposed to pay more in order to maintain all this stuff. It's not for the water, it's for the how we produce this water, how we deliver it. And it's the cost almost the same, whether it's flowed through this pipe or it stays on the closed.
Oh, so.
So I think we got no question.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Step up, please.
Hi, my name is Phil Newland, and I've been following a lot of the discussion that's been going on next door. It's apparent that some people are just finding out about this as a result of that. So first of all, I'd like the board to consider using Nextdoor, since many people rely on that as a way to get communication every day. As a venue for providing the information that should be going out and that sounds like a lot of people are looking for. I sent information last month regarding how to sign up as an agency. The Sheriff Department is on there, the county is on there, the State Regional Parks Police is on there. We don't see very much communication from them. But you can use that as a venue for announcing the meetings. A lot of people are even asking, oh, when is the meeting? Where is the meeting? So that would be a reminder every couple of weeks to just post that. Next meeting is whatever day, 7 p.m. Community Center. Post the minutes from the meeting and maybe the new agenda also. That's an easy way to get a link there. It reduces, I know it's all available on the town website. I go there and look for that, but it does take an amount of digging through the files to come up with, you know, the right name file for the meeting, the minutes to the meeting. I've been coming for a number of months now, so I know the meeting is here on a regular basis. But a lot of people new to the area, maybe they want to find out what's going on. And a lot of them get on Nextdoor right away. So, like, I would highly encourage you to sign up as an agency. I can send you information again. You get a Mr. Davies or in the office to look into that. It looks like an easy way for you to do that as an agency for us, and that could be a additional service provided to us in the community. Another concern that I have with regard to the meters above and beyond the initial capital cost, is there a budget line item for additional maintenance, and who's responsible for the maintenance? If we purchase the meters ourselves and they break down, I'm looking over here and I see electronics in here for the smart meter susceptible to water exposure. How many of those are going to be damaged if there's a leak in the meter box? And who's responsible for repairing that going forward? And also any infrastructure additional staff that might be needed to maintain, repair, structure for that.
Thank you.
I have one question for you, sir.
Yes.
As of today, have you received our flyer from the town?
I have not, unless it was stolen from my mailbox.
The flyer's been out for phase one so far.
Hi, I'm Valerie Harrison. I'm here with my husband, Greg Harrison. We've lived here since 1993, and we own two homes. So my question to you is, I have a home in the lakes, and so I believe we already have a smart water meter on our home there. Okay, so we have a home on the Cove Lane here. So my question is, how are you going to, it's in one of the questions here that you may already have received, and again, and I'm new to this, I only found out about this meeting by accident, and but I'll take some responsibility for that. I've had my head down to the ground dealing with other stuff, so I kind of rely on certain people on the board, like I won't mention names, like Chris Steele, like he might tell me something else. But so I kind of leave it up to you guys. I figure you're doing your job a little. So I didn't get any information. So, but before, when I heard about the meters, we did get something kind of telling us, like, before we got our meter out in the lakes, mm-hmm. we got a letter stating how many gallons we had used, either below or above a credit or whatever. So that was a good letter for us to have. It gave me a tangible use. I could put my hands around it. Okay, all right, and we know not to be, using too much water. So that was a great tool, whoever did that. I don't know if you guys are responsible, but that was a good plus. The other thing, my other question was, it says something about coinciding with the taxes, or because my husband says we already pay water in our taxes, correct? So if by the time this comes to fruition down the road, how is that money going to come back to us? Are we going to get a credit? We're already, taxes are being paid on that. So I kind of would like to hold someone accountable a little bit to that, because back in the 90s, we had a meeting similar to this, actually probably here in this place at one time, for a bond that I had said yes to for Liberty, for the school district. And so we paid on that bond for 15 years or whatever, and nothing ever came up. I mean, the things that I was told, promised to me, didn't get done. My kids never got a pool of Liberty. That was supposed to be under the improvements of that bond. So I'm going to kind of have my head out of the sand, kind of ask for accountability there. So I'd like that answered somewhere down the road. Again, thank you for your service. I know this is probably volunteer. Unless you're being, $100,000. But thank you.
Okay, will you see me after? I'll give you the answer.
Okay, perfect. Okay,
awesome.
Thank you.
Can't we all get that answer? You're going to give her the answer. Can't we all get that answer?
Would you like to hear it?
Okay.
Well, once you have a meter, you'll be billed through that meter. You'll get a monthly charge like the folks out in the lakes get. And if you, once you get the meter in the unmetered area, then you'll start getting a bill, and that service fee will drop off of your property tax. So instead of paying on the property tax, you'll pay the water.
Okay, well, you just gave us the answer. You said that we get it.
Any other public comment?
Thank you. Thank you for your guys' service. I appreciate it.
My name?
George Ransom.
Oh, thanks, George.
I'm a retired plumbing contractor. So $900 seems a bit excessive for the installation of a meter. I myself and one helper could do one of these meters in about an hour. Provided there's no hardscape in the way and stuff like that. I have two houses out here. One of them would be very slammed and not go. I'm not sure because I didn't check on it yet. I think if you guys are going to charge for meters, it should be appropriate, because I've worked out here for 25 years. I've seen you guys that completely take out their meter and concrete over it, or the meter box, I should say. Those customers should be charged the excessive amount because they've done things that are really stupid. You guys that have the simple fixes, like the showman back here probably, where you just pop the box out, hook up your meter, pop the box back in, drop a new lid on it, it's a slam dunk. So that's number one. Number two is, I have two houses out here, like I said, I didn't receive, and a PO box out here, and I haven't received any notification about this until I saw my next door.
So it seems strange that so many people here did not receive a notification. I wonder how many people are out there that haven't received a notification that would have been here tonight, even in the storm, had they received the notification. So that's all my comments.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, we'll close the public comment.
One other of the gentlemen who commented. You said that there were not going to be written responses to these questions.
Mr. President, I don't know whether you want to ask him to come to the mic or take his comment. It's your call.
This is being recorded, so I just want to make sure we get all of it.
The city of Riverside did it first. Now, you didn't mention that there were not going to be written responses to the questions that I asked. How am I going to get answers to my questions?
Call staff.
Okay, so I'm going to call staff. Who can speak for the city? Because I'm going to record it.
I'd like to know what his questions are, too.
There's 28 of them right here that were put on the table over there, and I'd be sure to have to provide that information. Because I'm concerned about the amount that we're paying. And I agree with all these other gentlemen. I could install this thing. And I've done a hell of a lot of research on this. And so it's not, and you had that in your SIP. These things were supposed to be done in 2014 and 2015 for $1.6 million. Now you're going after a bond for $3.11 million. Why don't you stick to what you already have? So, I forgot who am I going to ask my questions to specifically? Which one of you can I sit down with and get a verbatim?
General manager. Call the general manager's office.
And who is that?
Michael Davis.
Michael Davis. I will call him up.
From the website.
I read the website.
Mike, I'm aware of it after 2.5 years this time around. I just find it phenomenal that they could average the cost of the meters so that people have a small house, simple landscaping, regular concrete, get a pay for somebody who has a big fancy house, fancy landscaping, stamped concrete, that we should, pay extra money for the people that have a big fancy house. They should pay for what it costs for their meter, and I should pay what it costs for my meter. I shouldn't have to subsidize somebody else. And that's my main objection to this whole thing. I understand why you can't install it yourself. There's liability issues with the water supply, yada, yada, yada. But I just find it phenomenal that you would think it fair that the poorer people subsidize the rich people who have big fancy houses. You should pay what it costs for each property,
and that's the way it is. Thank you. I have one last question. How far has this gone, and how do we stop what's ever happening right now until we get better answers to this? Has this already been decided that we have any recourse to stop what's being done until further things are given to us information-wise? And the opportunity to take and see if there's alternatives to this. Where do we stand on this right now? Like I said, a lot of us are just hearing about it, and it's already gone through the process of how much it's going to cost, a total bond that you want to supply. That's a lot of information that came out by you guys that we've never even heard about. Where are we on this? I'd like to know.
Mr. President, may I make maybe a clarification first? So at least the board is understanding what you're considering here this evening. So we've been discussing this board's been discussing this for, God, I want to say better on 3 years, 4 years now that it's been an agenda item before this board. This was passed in 2000.
At different levels, yeah.
Yeah, this was passed in 2004 as a state mandated requirement.
That's, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, you want to
no, take? No.
Okay, passed in 2004. And it is a state-mandated obligation. This board gave staff direction to start this year in terms of figuring out financing. The issue of whether or not to do meters, as the request was made in terms of reconsideration, has since passed. you've decided that some time ago in terms of doing the meters. It's not that you had much of a choice. It is a state-mandated obligation, so by 2025, if you're not in compliance, there will be civil penalties associated with it. What's before you this evening is, as a result of the last two or three meetings, I'm having trouble remembering whether it's been two or three, that this has been the subject matter of discussion. And what's come back to you now is there was a staff recommendation that you consider, as a result of your workshop, that you consider financing the meter project through the bond to allow more flexibility with the board with respect to how long to collect. We've had some numerous discussions over the issue of financing and the use of reserves. This board did make a decision at the last meeting to direct staff to prepare the documents necessary, which is why bond counsel and underwriters are here with new documents, and you actually have a revised resolution before you this evening to accomplish what you directed at the last meeting. So what's before you tonight is whether or not you're going to move forward and execute the documents and adopt the resolution to finance the project through the bond, as your general manager's indicated in his opening remarks and presentation of the staff report.
So the before us tonight is the implementation of the decision from the last several meetings.
Just with respect to financing. This is not, do we do meters, do we not do meters, do we have the right amount, don't we have the right amount? You've discussed that at numerous meetings. You've gotten three bids regarding this. The bid that you went with is actually $1 million less than the other two bids for the overall project. So we did take the lowest responsive bidder associated with this project. So the only item that's before you tonight is the financing structure. Originally, the board had contemplated not doing it under a bond. Now, as a result of last meeting, you've decided to put it back in the bond. And these are the documents to accomplish that.
Great. Thank you. Okay, I'm moving closing public comment.
I'm sorry to keep bringing up questions, but you're not answering some things that are coming up. Who was on this board at the time the decision was made not to use the reserves? When did that occur? I think a lot of us here still have a question why we're not using the reserves we had, and now we're getting a bond and there's reserves available. Who on this board was here when that decision was made? Any of you?
All of us.
All of you?
Yes.
And when was that decision made? How long ago?
That's meeting.
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? You decided not to use the reserves. How many people were at the meeting?
It wasn't unanimous.
It wasn't unanimous?
No.
What was the vote?
I think it was 3-2. What we're trying to do here is get all of the questions, and you've had two or three.
You think the question I'm asking is irrelevant?
No, sir. We're going to answer those questions once we get all the questions.
Okay.
So if all the...
Mr. President, if I can, I want to avoid the back and forth that'll quickly occur if we allow this to continue. So
I want to close the public.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not going to get out of this without answering the questions that I have, and I think everybody here has questions. We want them answered before you make decisions.
Yeah,
your decisions should be based on the input from the residents here, not solely by yourselves.
We're asking for your public comment, and then your public comment.
And I'm saying we haven't even known about this. You said you decided 2 weeks ago.
Thank you. Please.
Sorry, I'll make it short. I can tell that we need to get moving. One thing I thought of that I have not heard discussed here is, has the board considered that a side effect that could occur by installing these meters and what I mean is, so many of us have water sitting right in our backyard. If we install these meters and another draft comes up, people don't want to pay for really high bills, then maybe they start pumping from their own backyard in order to do their lawn and such like that. I just want to be sure that the board is at least considering that.
We have a state problem.
Okay. Yeah, typically.
I'll be very quick. Jared Moore again. Just by way of history, I know Rob brought up some history there, and I've lived here since 1983. I've been hearing about meter installation for over a decade, I'm sure. and it's never happened. And until a couple of weeks ago, I never heard about $900 out of my pocket to do it. And that's what brings me down here to the meeting tonight. The other thing I would want to mention, and one of the other gentlemen mentioned the electronics on this. My water meter sits in my front lawn, and about 6 months out of the year, it's completely submerged due to the water table. So I'm not sure how that electronics are going to work in an underwater situation. I'm sure that's the case in water. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, then at this point, I'm going to close public comment and move on to board discussion.
I'd like to see if we couldn't have some of the questions addressed by staff. I think the biggest one that I'd like to have either through legal or general manager is the differences between a surplus and reserves, and the difference between restricted funds and unrestricted funds. And that might help the public understand that you just can't take money to spend them without having a backup or a reserve. Would either of you like to do that?
Me? I was just gonna say, Dina, no? You want me to try it? Okay. You have a reserve policy, and the reserve policy identifies, it's basically a rainy day fund. Should a catastrophe happen, should an issue happen, you can draw from that money. You have set a baseline for what needs to be in the reserve fund. You are free to use the reserve dollars for a project like this, but they would have to be replaced. So you've got that cost somewhere. Someone's going to carry the front end of the money. You are correct that there was discussion at, I think, the last two meetings regarding the restricted funds and what restricted funds mean. You have several different accounts, water, wastewater, parks, lighting, landscaping funds, and those funds, although there may be a surplus of money, not money needed to operate the day-to-day activity, you maintain those funds not only for a rainy day, but for maintenance, repair, upgrades, things like that that may come on in the future. Those funds are restricted for the type of account that they can be used for. So you cannot take the X number of million dollars in lighting and landscaping, X number of millions of dollars in wastewater, and apply it to this particular project. Those are restricted funds. You do have an option, there is, and we discussed it a little bit, of borrowing from one account to the other, but that's not much difference, and at actually at a higher rate than what you would otherwise receive by the bond. And that was some of the discussion that you had associated with the differences in the bond. As your general managers indicated, you're talking about a $221 difference. You're not, by this project, raising surplus. Raising additional revenues, raising additional reserves, you are passing along the cost associated with the project. There is a contingency fee for the anticipated leaks that you would get when you install new systems on old pipes, but that's the difference between the types of accounts that you have. That answer your question?
Well, that's just fine because I understand it. I'm hoping that we can probably adjust
that. Can I get clarification on something you said there?
Sure.
When we borrow money from ourselves from one pocket to another, it's mandated that we pay a certain interest amount when we borrow from ourselves?
No, there's not a mandate that you pay. Yeah, there's not a mandate that you pay interest, but the time value of money is contemplated in the government code when you borrow from one account to the next. So you can't continue to deplete a fund that
understood.
Would otherwise
understood.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just for clarification, Rod, the particular account that we're looking at, I've heard people quote this in other meetings, and again tonight, $6 million is our reserves. Can you define the difference and how much we have in the water?
Now I am going to need help from Dina. I fly alone for a bit, and then I have to turn to Dina. So, Dina, I think the specific question is the $6 million that's in the reserve, it's allocated how? It's spread out differently.
So we have a reserve for water, which is it's our reserve for water. We have a reserve for wastewater. That constitutes about $4 million. Then we set up infrastructure replacement funds. and those are for our generators, vehicle, sewer replacements, and for water replacements. So that makes up the $6 million.
And I think we asked the question at the last meeting, because this particular issue came up. The water and wastewater is a combined reserve fund, so it's...
The water and wastewater was a combined reserve fund. We've been working to split that out and have water and wastewater, and so now they are separate.
And I think you answered last time what the amount was on those two. Can you tell us what the amount is on wastewater and what the amount is on water?
Yeah, for water, including the infrastructure replacement, was about $3 million, and the wastewater we do not.
And that's an important number to realize, that there is $3 million in the cost of this project, this 2.1.
Dean, a question for you on that. Are those current numbers, or are those what the funds, in other words, we've depleted reserves to pay for ongoing construction, waiting for millions of dollars, actually, waiting for the bond issue to go through. So, do the numbers you give us tonight include that depletion?
It did not include that depletion. You were signed a check tonight for $1 million for Auburn Construction. That is part of the $7.4 million filtration project. So that will deplete it.
That's the first big
that's
payment out of that?
That's the extremely large payment.
Out of that reserve fund?
That's right. And so...
And then out of the proceeds of the bond, that we can replace those funds that we basically forwarded.
Yes.
Immediately forward.
We had there was another question. There was a lot of research going into the type of meter that we chose. This might be and the cost of the meter, how we broke that down. Could you help us with just a thumbnail sketch of how this number got to 900?
Oh, sure. Okay. So actually, you're not just paying for the installation. The installation is a contract for $1.3 million. Okay, and so that actually, if you spread that across the 3,500 homes, that's $394 a home. On top of that, you have to pay for the products, so the products that we're putting in the ground. So the meter reader, the box, the lid, and the bricks. And each of those are costed out as well. So the total products for all these, for these products are about $1.288 million. That's another $364 a home. So if you even add just those up, you're already at about $750 or so for this meter project. That's not including the contingency and the other staffing and support, such as the engineering that we have, the engineering firm that we hired to help manage this project, to do the construction management of the project, the inspection of the project. So that's how we've got to those numbers.
So would you say then about 150 is what could be considered overhead? That extra, if we're at 750, then that extra 150 is kind of overhead and supervision?
It is.
I mean, roughly, just
yeah,
as a general term?
About that. Yeah, okay. It is.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other items the chair of staff researched was the ability of the electronics to withstand weather and water.
It took us about a year to research all of these products. So we had a meter in the ground already it was a composite meter, it was a very big working meter, it had some reading issues. So I was tasked with going back and looking for a new meter company. We Sacramento was doing a meter project at the time, we called them. We called the city of San Francisco, we asked for who did they look at. And then we invited those individuals to come in. We looked at Badger, we looked at Census, we've also looked at Neptune, and there were a couple others, Aclara, and a few other companies that came in and did some presentations for us. We did those presentations, we looked at the meter, we actually asked them to send us 4 or 5 meters for us to test. And so we tested those meters over a period of time. We chose the best one. We looked at blogs, we called other agencies, we discussed the meters with them, and then we brought those meters to you with our decision. So we made the decision to go with the Badger meter and the O'Brien group. It does have quite a long lifespan. It can be sustainable in the elements, as well as the reader. The reader we really liked because it was a 9-core connector connected in. It also has, you can look at, it's actually really cool. It has a little tube like this, and it has a really cool coating that prevents any condensation, any water, to touch it into that reader. So we did do some research.
Right. I know you did, and I'm just trying to help the audience here answer some of those questions. I'm not trying to put you on.
No, that's okay.
And talk about the warranty.
Oh, Oh, the warranty. Okay, so the meter is guaranteed for a 10-year plus warranty, the reader as well. And so we definitely expect for the meter to last 20 years. That is the life expectancy of that. And what we are planning is to once we start hitting close to those warranties a year out, we're going to go out, we're going to inspect every meter and every reader and make sure that it's still in working condition. If not, we're going to submit those.
With me, a couple of other questions. One was mentioned earlier, a type of meter. There's less expensive meters. I think you went through that. But part of the staff thought process, I believe, on that with going with the electronic meters, there's no need for the traditional water meter person to be hired and driving around town trying to read meters.
That's correct. Before we got this new meter and the system, we had a mesh system. The mesh system is kind of like a blanket that goes over the town, and you need a lot of different products for that. You needed a Gerbil can probably help me. It was a transponder, and then there was one other
transmitter,
and
receiver,
and a receiver. And frequently these items broke down, so we had a lot of trouble with reading. And so we had a lot of probably anywhere from 200 to 400 no reads a month. And that caused us to really start looking into something that was a little bit more reliable. And the reason why is because we had one service utility technician. He was not a meter reader, but he did the maintenance on meters or the infrastructure, helped out Virgo in the field when it came to water leaks and things like that. So that's why we made that decision to move. The other push to make that decision was the company that we hired or that provided those products for us actually went bankrupt. So that's why we decided to make this move. And we are now on a cellular system. The reads are immediate. We also have a customer portal, so you can go online and see your usage. It compares usage. It will give you leak updates, so if there's a leak in your house, you can get that. So it's a really neat to be able to use the system for not only the resident, but also for our guests and
officers. Speaking of leaks, that unit will also notify the town office.
That's right.
Of a leak, if someone
called,
even if they're not there.
It will. We have to do that. Definitely, we'll have to work on that, and she has to pull a report to give us those leaks, so it doesn't just automatically push them to us. But we have to every day.
We have the ability to tell. And just a couple more. There was a discussion about time frame, why the rush, et cetera. I think as a board member, one of my decisions, doctors, was that, as you know, as time goes on, the costs get higher. And the cost of labor gets higher, the cost of the equipment gets higher. And for those cities who wait the next 7 years to put those in, the manufacturer of these is going to raise the cost of those to the roof because you won't have a choice. And then you run into the problem of not having the availability of the product because the manufacturer is maxed out. So I think it was prudent on myself and the rest of this board to decide to make this happen now. We've actually pre-ordered meters so that we eliminated costs in anticipation of having a shortage so once the project gets started, we don't have any delays. There's a couple other on communication. We can talk about those a little later, next door, and et cetera. So I'm thinking I've got most of the answers, but from the audience.
I'd just like to say that I hear you loud and clear, and I think we all do. I don't need to speak for you, but communications was not what it should have been. We can't fix the past, but we can fix what we do from this point on, and we'll work on that, that's for sure.
Okay.
Mr. Grace?
Sure. First of all, let me say that we started talking about educating back 3 or 4 years ago, and we seriously started talking about providing these water meters. We talked about education. We met with staff 5 or 6 months ago. There were some letters drafted that were to go out. I'm not quite sure why that didn't happen. I'm not quite sure why we're only sending them out in portions so that people so people can't engage the product. And as my colleague said, you know, we apologize for that. The board, you know, hears about things at different times, and I feel really bad that these letters didn't go out 2 or 3 months ago in committee. That's what was discussed. that everybody would know about it well in advance. They would know about the deadlines, they would know about the costs, they would know about the mandate. All these things would be able to be brought to the public en masse so that the whole community would know that this was going on. I apologize for that not happening. I will say also that within committee, there was many different processes discussed with regards to how to assess cost and fair cost to these. I personally wanted a more tiered level to where somebody with a very simple installation wouldn't pay the same as somebody with a very expensive. One voice, it was overruled at the committee level, and this one set cost was brought to the board, but there wasn't a lot of discussion about it by the board. It was brought to the board by staff, and I don't recall a meeting where we sat here and discussed as a board whether or not we would go with a tiered level. I have, with full disclosure, I have one of those very simple homes that would take 20 minutes to install. You know, now it's still going to cost $500 or $600, but it may not cost $900. That was where I definitely feel with the comments that were made tonight that there's a subsidy going on. I didn't agree with that. The other thing that we mentioned here tonight was the financing of the project. I will clarify that it was a 3-2 vote. I was, and Director Steele and I were both dissenting votes on financing that. The board had already made decisions to go ahead, and it would have been a more fiscal impact on you and us, because we pay the same thing you do, on the consumer, because it would have been a higher amount for a shorter period of time, but it would have been less amount paid in the long run. In other words, a 24% increase in cost for financing over the 10-year period of the bond. I did not agree with that. I don't think that's a wise decision. And so, again, my last point I've already talked about, and that was the education. This should have come out in many different manners. I will say, you have to be cautious about what you read on Nextdoor. And Nextdoor, I'm not disagreeing that there may be a place for that with us, but you got to be careful, because I've read some of that stuff, and it's so far from the truth, it's ridiculous. But it did get you guys out here. It did get you it lets you know that you didn't know what you wanted to know. And I appreciate you coming out. I appreciate you engaging us. And I also, we're in a real tough spot here from the standpoint that, as our attorney said, you know, decisions have been made. But I would encourage the board to think about agendizing some more discussion on this issue, because there is a lot more interest than even is in the room here tonight.
Let me clarify, and the 3-2 vote, I think that's important to say there's a lot of discussion. A 5-0 is one-sided. So we did have a lot of discussion. I think good discussion. Part of the reason we went that way is the program that they originally looked at was $25 a month tacked on the bill for 3 years. But we deplete our reserves because we use our reserves. We'll get it paid back $1 million every year for 3 years, but we expose ourselves. It's also, when I talk to a number of citizens here, residents, $25 seemed like an awful lot for 3 years every month on top of the bill. So we tried to look at a way to buffer that a bit, and that's where we put it on with the bond. We could take that from $25 down to $9 and some change. I can't remember the exact number, which is a little more palatable. And the price of $221, I think, is spread across 10 years. So you're really paying that extra money to buffer that, to make it easier to pay. There's also the option to pay up front. No interest, no problems. So you had a choice. That was the important thing. So that's part of the vote on the 3 side. And I understand Director Graves on wanting to get it quick, get it out. There's 2 sides to it. We ended up with 3-2, but I think that was a healthy discussion for the board. So I hope that explains a little bit about how we came up with that.
With all due respect to Director Gray, we did have a discussion at this board level on a tiered system once or twice during the last 3 to 4 or 5 months. So there was plenty of discussion on it. I'm in agreement with, from the standpoint that there's some renters out here, and to ask a renter to pay $25 a month for a meter when the owner of the property should be paying the $25 a month, I didn't think that was quite fair either. So being able to stretch this out for a 10-year period, and if someone wants to pay it all up front, we have no problem with that at all. We can pay it, be done with it. But we're trying to take a look at everybody's economic situation and try to do this as painless as possible.
Yeah, I still don't see the urgency, and I would ask for some more time with the public as far as either workshop and get some more information together. I'm still not agreeing with financing this. I think we should be using our reserves and using the money that we have at hand. I think that the tiered system needs to be reconsidered. I know we try to have a sharp pencil with our estimates as for our bid step for this. We did take a lower bid on this to get this work done, but it seems it still seems unfair to have some people shoulder the burden of somebody else's configuration. But I definitely am not in agreement that we need to make a decision tonight, and I would ask that the board would put a better communication plan together and roll this out over a later period.
With all due respect, we're here to talk about the bond and whether we should go forward. We can still have plenty of discussion on a tiered program if the board would like to do that. The final decision hasn't been made. We haven't sent any bills out to anybody at this time. So I'm not opposed to having that discussion. I certainly would like to keep the financing portion of it going. We need to do that to meet our dates. And also, I'm not in favor of using our reserves. If we have our water supply system, as an example, is over 40 years old. Over on Beaver Lane right now, at least once a month, there's a water break. And it's costing us somewhere around $5 or $6 or $7 million each time we have one of those breaks. If we have a main water supply, something happened to it, we need to have reserves available right now to fix those. If we have a major failure at one of our plants, we have to have the money on hand to fix it. We don't have time to go out and get a loan. And to use up our $3 million or over half of our reserves is not using our fiduciary abilities to the best that I feel we should. And that's why I'm in favor of financing this. How we set it up tiered and how the community is paying it back, we have to have plenty more discussion on that. I'm certainly open to that.
Mr. President, we'll never this would not deplete the reserves. We keep saying this, it's not a true statement. The reserves would never be depleted because the monies get paid back $1 million every year. So the reserves would never be depleted to complete this project, just for clarification.
My clarification is we're putting ourselves in a monetary situation when we take over half of our reserves away and we have an unexpected failure 3 weeks later. That's my concern.
Legal.
Yes, as to timing, I think Dina may have an issue, and I would suggest that you check in with bond counsel. This is, I think, now the third time that revised documents have come back in terms of the bond and underwriting, and I don't know what the status is. I haven't been involved in any of that because you have separate counsel for that. So I think there's two issues there. Dina would be first.
So one of the issues is you mentioned that the contract with KW backed out. We started a
So can I just ask you, what would it deplete our reserves to Director Graves' point? He's saying we will not deplete it to zero. What would it go down to?
Okay, so it would deplete it to zero until we get the money back, right? Because it's $3 million, that's in the water reserve. So if you're going to split them, then it's $3 million. It would deplete it to pay for the project from now until the project's over. But we'll be getting that money back as soon as that first bill goes out. That money starts coming back in. So it's a very
in a linear fashion. 1 million per year.
But we do have the other half. That's you're wanting me to say is because it was once defined as water and wastewater. So
I've been on sport for almost 8 years, and we borrowed from ourselves before. This is not a big deal. We're making it sound like it's impossible to borrow that money from one reserve to another. It's not, and it's not a big deal. We do it all the time. I take that statement back. We do not do it all the time, but we have done it many times.
Any comments? I'd just like to say, I think it's prudent at this point to issue the debt and maintain the reserves so that this community is whole. And if it's faced with an emergency, we've seen water line breaks frequently here. We're paying thousands and thousands of dollars a month to fix an aging infrastructure and to put ourselves at risk. I think if we have water lines for one thing, as well as reservoirs, goes, we have an even bigger problem. We have a well issue that we're facing, and I think it would be important to get the financing in place. If we want to look at a different structure in terms of tiers or other methods of payment, we can certainly do that. But at this point, I think we've been discussing this thing for several years now, intensively for at least the last 6 months. I think it's time to move forward and put the financing in order. We'll figure out if there's other issues that people want to talk about with regard to repayment, tiering, averaging, and so forth. We can certainly do that at a future meeting because we won't have the repayment process in place at that point. So anyway, I would like to move forward with the financing, keep the district whole. The money's as cheap as it's ever going to be. Averaging the cost, right now we're averaging the cost of water meters for most of the district because people are paying the average of the water cost. They're not paying for their own personal use. So we've done this for an awfully long time in the district. And again, I'd like to see us move forward with financing.
And for clarification, I'd say that I'm in favor of doing something about the meters sooner than later. I mean, we're not, this is not something that's just come about in supporting what you're saying presently. This is not something that's just come about. I mean, 2004 is when it was mandated. It's 2017, 13 years later, and we have 8 more years until it has to be done. We're well past the midway point of moving forward, and we plan to do this for a long time. I want to do the water meters, and we need to do them, post haste. No question about that.
Yeah, I agree. We definitely need to get the water meters, and I think we can take care of it internally and also without it to go out and finance this type of small project.
I don't consider $3 million a small project.
Why does he have to argue with everybody? We're not up here to have a debate.
That's exactly what we're here for, to have discussion.
Exactly.
If I happen to not totally agree with your position, that's fine. That's what we need to talk about.
Look, as homeowners, we've been blindsided.
This is the board's time. You've had your talk.
I have a lot more talk.
That's what recalls are about.
What's the board's plan?
Exactly.
At this particular point, I move staff recommendation that we approve the resolution 2017-01 authorizing the issuance of the sale of revenue bonds and recommended item number 1 and 2.
Just for the record, that we do have a revised resolution, so I assume your motion is reflective of the revised resolution.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
The motion passes. Okay, that concludes item number 3 on the agenda. Let's take a 5-minute break.
I was just going to say.
Actually, I asked my wife to go to the
and see if he can get one.
So, there may be people who weren't answered here or that weren't answered by
people. Got the meeting back to order? You want to have conversations in the meeting room with that? Let's move on to item number 2, debt management policy. Staff.
The item before you is for your consideration and adoption by resolution of a debt management policy as required by Government Code 8855-I. In summary, a debt management policy ensures that our approach to long-term debt, short-term debt, and financing on behalf of other entities is done in a fiscally prudent and conscientious way. The agenda report provides more detail, and Dina, our finance manager, is here to answer deeper questions if you have any.
Any questions from the board on debt management policy?
Do you want to do a public comment?
Any public comment?
So, yeah, I didn't think so either, but I just...
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask. I just have a duck question is, we didn't have one prior. This is the first one we've established. Thank you. That's good enough for me. Thank you. I just want to make sure we work it.
Virtually every public agency has a debt manager.
I'm glad to know because I would have known we had one, and I would have felt pretty stupid. So thank you. I'm good.
Any comments? Any discussion?
I think the debt management policy the staff has put together is pretty inclusive. I think it's the right set of parameters that we need to work with, and I move approval of the debt management policy.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Now, to item number one, our board workshop.
Yes.
Well, we originally scheduled our board workshop for Saturday the 21st. And Vice President Graves has received an invitation to attend the gala in the presidential gala in Washington, D.C. So he's not going to be able to attend that date. So we put up for your consideration either the 28th or some other date in which all board members could be present for the workshop.
Yeah, I think it's important that we all attend. So I'm hoping that we can find a date of consensus here that we could all work out. I think the first date throughout, I think, is the 28th. That was the state of the calendar.
It makes a difference in my calendar.
I think if we get it done early in the morning, that'd be.
Well, I thought somebody couldn't make it.
You can. Well, then that date's out.
Chris, you can?
I can't.
No, he's got commitment. The fourth was. Oh, somebody could make the fourth.
I'm out of town on the fourth.
Okay.
I think it's important that we set the date and time so that the budget committee, when we get to move forward, we can't like go into June and wait for this meeting. It's a goal setting meeting that I think helps prioritize what we're going to do. And I would say sometime in February or March.
I don't think we should wait till March.
Could I suggest that we use an evening?
Yeah.
Maybe one of the off Wednesdays?
Yeah, you can suggest.
I'm just suggesting it. Looking for a.
Yeah. Why don't you suggest that?
Let me suggest it.
Okay.
Meeting day. How about next week, the 25th?
We have an AGM.
I know. I'm looking to everybody to look at their calendars. And that's not going to work for one person over there.
We have a water meter open house that day.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m., okay. Yeah.
Are we supposed to know about that?
Yeah, that's going to come up after the recess.
What about the 8th?
Okay.
The 8th?
This guy.
I am out of town.
Okay, well, wait, hold on a second.
Can it be on Wednesday?
Yeah, can it be on Tuesday?
About the
water meeting. There's two water meetings on Tuesday, 24th.
How about February 2nd, on Thursday?
I'm good.
That's better for you. Make it 2 miles on the road, best.
I'm scared because I don't have anything on my calendar for that day.
Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog Day.
I think that'll work.
I'm good. General manager, legal counsel.
I don't think I attend these, but I'll work with the general manager to figure out my attendance.
Counsel work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Six thirty.
A.M.
I can meet till 7:45.
Okay, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, February 2nd.
All right, thank you all for accommodating my little journey.
Okay. Might I
meeting here?
Yeah, we'll put it up.
Is it hard to find when you put it up?
put it on the website.
I think in the future,
why do people think that websites
once we set a date, we should try to keep those dates. Because it is extremely difficult for all of us to get together at different times.
I'm asking why he thinks the website's...
Moving on. Item number four, board committees.
The item before you is for your consideration and approval of modification of the board's bylaws and policies related to staff subcommittees and regional representation as proposed by President Leek. In brief summary, President Leek proposes to modify the board bylaws to eliminate and replace subcommittees with standing committees subject to the Brown Act. Committee members would receive a stipend for attendance at these meetings. President Leek also proposes eliminating appointments to regional representation and that any attendance by a board member at a regional meeting would be voluntary and not subject to a stipend unless the member was specifically directed by the board to attend. Standing committee appointments would be made first by the president, then the vice president, then president pro tem, then by seniority. Board members would also be able to trade committee assignments by mutual consent. The agenda report provides greater detail, and council and I are available to answer your questions.
Okay, before, let me, since this is my proposal, let me take a shot at this. Okay, what I'm proposing here is that we transition to a format that's very similar to what other special districts do in Alameda and Contra Costa County, pretty much throughout the state. And that is to have standing committees with broad but focused responsibilities that meet in public, where we have an agenda, we have an opportunity for very informal discussion of issues coming before the board, that we have adequate time to discuss those issues, bring them forward, ask staff questions, discuss the issue among ourselves, and also with the public that might choose to attend. I think that this, you know, it has some pros and cons, and I'm well aware, I think, of all of them, but I think that the pros far outweigh the cons here. The pros are we have public participation, we have notice, we have time, we have hopefully more frequent meetings that allow us to do better board work in terms of fulfilling our responsibilities to look at all the issues that the town faces and really get ourselves laser focused on the latent powers, the responsibilities of the town of Discovery Bay Community Services District. We focus on water, we focus on wastewater, we focus on parks and recreation, we focus on landscaping. There's a lot of other things that we get involved in, and they're all important and they're interesting, but we're elected for those four purposes, and I think we should stay very, very focused on those four areas. So I propose five committees. My proposal is that we select membership of the committee as we've done in the past.
Well, if it's a Brown Act, you can actually all attend.
The Brown Act, you can all attend. There's issues about notices about who's going to attend, but that's fine.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You said, and I appreciate what you're saying. I just want to clarify because it would work well in that atmosphere. You said in kind of an informal atmosphere, sure. And we're very structured in this meeting.
Yep.
Can we have, and does the Brown Act determine how structured the meeting has to be?
The Brown Act doesn't determine it. The Robert's Rules of Order, which you guys apply to those meetings
The president could open up discussion whenever he wanted to. It doesn't have to be in
it
this comment period only type of thing, or how would it work?
It can be more informal. I think we tend to see standing committees more informal. I think you tend to see less public show up to them. But to the extent that you get public and public comment, you could be looking at a 5-6 hour where I've seen subcommittees go, and you just turn the board meeting into that meeting. So you are going to have to maintain some structure,
But it definitely can be more informal in terms of a more round robin dialogue.
How do you see it, Bob?
Well, you know, in my experience, I work a long time, and I worked for 5 public agencies, and they all had structures not exactly like this, but similar to it. And they would have, you know, 2 board members on each of these committees, and the committees would meet as needed, as things were coming before the board or issues needed to be sort of, you know, chewed around a little bit and help staff kind of see what the district board's perspective was on certain issues. And they were very informal. We didn't meet like this. We met in a conference room. Mm-hmm. The public showed up. Come on and join us at the table. Ask questions that you want to ask. If we're talking about things that aren't on your agenda, let us know so we can, you know, we can start doing the staff work to prepare for that. And have the board, you know, just start letting items marinate as they hear about them and how they work through the issues. And so you don't have issues come up at the last minute that we just frankly haven't had time to think about. It requires a little bit more work on staff. They've got to be prepared. We start, you know, I know staff is very good about laying out known agenda items that are going to come up during the year, and so they're prepared to do the staff work to get those things accomplished. But there's other things that come up more on an ad hoc basis. They come up infrequently. They come up out of the blue. And if you work through a committee process, it gives the staff a chance to put together perhaps a draft staff report. It lets a couple of board members kind of preview it, kind of chew it around a little bit and see how it feels. It allows the public to comment on it. You can kind of get a sense of, you know, where's the community going on this issue. We got a lot of experts out in the community that perhaps don't sit on a board or don't want to spend a lot of time coming to these meetings, but would be willing to bring their expertise to the board and give us their advice. So I just see a lot of value to it. I think we're much better prepared when we've gone through that process. It takes a little bit of planning, it takes a little bit of effort, it takes a little bit of time, but I think on the end result, we end up with better public decisions.
Couple things. First of all, these would be the evening meetings.
They could be whenever the committee chooses to establish.
Well, if you're going to invite, if it's to be more transparent and to invite the public and to give an opportunity for the board, all board members to be there, would have to be in the evening.
I would not suspect that. I have never seen all board members attend committee meetings at any place.
But the opportunity should be there for all board members.
If they
should have the opportunity for all. So they have to be in the evening then, because not all of us are retired.
That is never how I have seen it work in any public agency. They've had meetings at various times.
So you're proposing something that would exclude other board members from being able to go?
I would propose that there be 2 board members assigned to each committee, and those board members would decide when, how often, and when they would meet. Those meetings would be noticed. Those that choose to attend can attend. People can't attend at night. Some people can only attend there. We have people that work nights and weekends and all kinds of things. So we have to be able to.
Okay.
This is not a board meeting. It's just a committee meeting to work on structure.
I'm confused about a couple things.
Sure.
And I'm not trying to be. I'm literally confused about a couple things. First of all, if they're Brown Act agendized meetings, why do we assign committee members? And there may be a good answer to that. But let me finish my second question. And that is, who then would run the meeting? Because in the past, these meetings were run by the general manager.
Right.
So I don't understand that part of it.
Okay. I think we have 2 board members. My proposal is there be 2 board members assigned to each committee. How the committee structures it is who's lead or who's not, I don't, you know, we're all adults. We can figure this out. I don't think you need a leader. We're all pretty much sophisticated enough to attend and participate in the meeting. What was the second part of your question?
Mm-hmm. No, the first part was, you answered kind of both of them at the same time. The first part was why 2 members and why...
Well, because we have 2 members now, so it was just...
But if they're Brown Act meetings, then everybody could go.
Everybody could.
If I may, Mr. President.
Yes.
So 2 things. One, I agree that this is common structure within public agencies, and I don't know, we represent something 60, 70 of them, and I think this is common structure. There are generally bylaws for each committee. That's one of the first things the committee does is identify bylaws and how the meetings are going to be run. And because you still do have to have a chair, and you still do have to have somebody that's going to coordinate the meeting. But generally, these are for the general managers and for staff's purpose, to get input from board members. And so the general manager in most of these, or the executive director of the public agencies we work with, ends up controlling most of the meeting.
Okay, that would change much.
The second part of it is the committee, a standing committee, although subject to the Brown Act, is only subject to the Brown Act because the legislative body, the main legislative body, creates the committee. The desire to have multiple people attend, or the entire board, is allowable under the Brown Act, or the ability to have the entire board attend. But only the two members, because you have to have less than a quorum that make up the standing committee, only the two members are members of the committee. Every other board member that would go and attend, but cannot say anything.
I can use a workshop format.
So that's the difference between a board meeting and
that,
a standing
That is committee. The difference meeting between, because you cannot create a standing committee that has the same authority as what the legislative body does. And so if you put all five in a room, or even three in a room, and you allow the third member to speak, you now have a quorum of the board and you can take action. So only two members can go, all members can go, only two members are allowed to speak and be heard on the matter.
And that's the way, it is.
And it's sort of, it's very similar to what we're doing now, except it's a noticed meeting.
And the reason for that is?
Let everybody in the world know what we're doing.
Can you put it on next door so everybody knows about it?
That adds me and staff. Because staff is still going to have to have a meeting separate from this meeting, because there's just things that have to be discussed that don't get discussed in public.
And there are things that staff wants to talk about that they should be able to free to talk about without our presence. That they can work out things, bring us more complete staff work.
How often do you see these meetings?
I see each committee determining what they need to do. As an example, I have five committees proposed. Water and wastewater, I think, is going to be pretty frequent.
Like monthly?
Whatever that committee decides.
If you ask me to vote on something, I need a little more specific.
Well, if you're on the wastewater committee, you decide. If you're on the communications committee, you decide. If you're on the finance committee, you decide. The general manager also has the opportunity to call people in.
My giving information as to how often he wants them, so I'm trying to get some insight.
Well, I think in terms of the committees, that's the word. How often he has staff meetings? For him, he has committees can figure out.
How did you come across? How did you develop the hierarchy of the seniority versus position and all that? I didn't catch any logic in that, and. To me, it seems like the seniority should have outranked everything.
Is this
in knowledge?
Is this what you're talking about in terms of selecting the committee?
That hasn't changed since.
It's exactly like you did it 2 years ago.
That's just for the board here.
So if I can, so we can maybe eliminate some of the back and forth. In 2015, when Rick proposed some time ago to do the staff meetings is really what they were. He was looking for volunteerism. Prior to 2015, there ended up being some competition for who volunteered. We had more volunteers than we had seats for the two meetings. And so this board adopted that scheme. President Leet's proposal does not change the structure for how somebody gets on the committee. It's no different than the committee that was proposed by Rick.
So run that, what's that again? I thought it was by seniority from the very beginning. No.
President, vice president, president pro tem, senior most board member, followed by the least senior member. That's in the event seniority cannot be determined, then you go to the.
That was what we set up.
That was what was set up in 2015.
Okay.
So I just followed that.
I remember it that way, but that's okay. I don't remember everything we do.
And you can see if you look at page.
Yeah, so.
You have a red line showing the track changes.
So then, from a financial standpoint, only those two members that are appointed to it would collect a stipend. Other board members that attended would not get stipends.
Correct.
Is that correct? Or would any board member that attended be eligible for the stipend?
That's the intent, I believe. I believe we have a language issue in terms of days of service that runs into the regional representation as well as if you volunteered, and showed up. So I'm trying to answer your question thinking about only those two members are guaranteed the 115. The other members that showed up and went to the meeting, they would be volunteering, so that would not, in my opinion, be considered a day of service, and I believe that meets President Leaf's direction as to what his proposal is.
Correct. But does that fit the law? Because the law has a description of a day of service.
I would consider that not to be a day of service. I don't believe there's any case law on it. We'd have to go look that up, but I don't believe there's any case law on what...
They would have to be representing themselves as a member of the public at that point and not discussing, so you can hear the observer.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's Katie Lucchesi from our office, who's done the research with this.
You're allowed to be there.
You're allowed to be there, but you are a member of the public.
So you're not in violation of the Brown Act, but yet you don't have... Okay.
And you still don't have the ability, even though you're a member of the public, you still don't have the ability to speak.
You
still don't have the ability
to speak. You may only observe.
Yes.
Okay, so
that's my proposal.
Well, yeah, but that's part of your proposal. We didn't talk about the regional.
Well, in terms of the regional, my
proposal
is that if we have regional issues that come up, whether it be LAFCO or the Board of Supervisors or whatever, that the board decide if they want to send somebody to speak on behalf of the board.
How do you know that something would come up?
All get the agendas, the general manager gets
okay.
the agendas,
so,
they all look at it.
So we have certain latent powers that were given to us by, we have latent powers that were given to us by the Board of Supervisors when the CSD was established.
LAFCO,
okay. And one of the, you're right, LAFCO. And one of those latent powers that was given to us is a MAC, Advisory Committee, to the county. How can we advise the county if we're not involved in regional meetings in the county? How can we fulfill that latent power?
I think if any issue comes up before the county that we need to be represented on, that we would send somebody.
And who's monitoring that?
We all are. We all get the agendas. Staff gets the agendas. Board member gets the agendas. Anybody in the community that wants to get the agendas, subscribe to the county.
Okay, so you don't think we need to interact with other agencies?
But I don't think we need to be going ad nauseum to meetings that very rarely impact the administration.
And I definitely don't want to be difficult, but I do want to ask a clarifying question because I'm sure that the next question is going to be when someone down the road is when an agenda comes out and they come out 72 hours in advance. How does the board make that decision? Currently, we don't have anybody with the authority to appoint somebody to go represent the board at LAFCO if there's an important issue. So how do we address that issue? And I'm sure somebody's going to ask me because then all five of you are going to end up showing up at that meeting and everybody's going to claim it's a day of service. So
if that issue comes up, what would be an appropriate amendment to my proposal that would accomplish that?
Well, you could do it one of two ways. Way number one would be to appoint at the beginning of the year who that regional representative is, and to the extent that there is an issue that comes up that's relevant to Discovery Bay.
Who decides whether it's relevant?
You got an issue there. I guess it'd be the person who's appointed. I guess relevancy becomes a difficult, but that's why historically you've attended all of them, so you could do that. The second way would be to give a board member the authority. Give the president, give the vice president, give the president the authority to review, make the sole determination as to when it's relevant, and make the sole determination of who attends as a representative. That'd be the only two ways I could think of off the top of my head, but other than our discussion on the phone, I haven't really thought about it much.
So what's your goal in eliminating, what is it hurting for board members to be actively involved in regional meetings within our community that affect our community?
My observation for the last 2 years is that we've attended very, very few of them.
Okay.
And I don't think that we need to be sending people
I don't think we need to pay board members to go to meetings that have at best tangential relationship to anything that we're
doing. So the ECCFBD doesn't have anything to do with us?
I think there's going to be an election here, and if somebody is interested in the Canada Discovery Bay, and I hope someone is that they get elected to that board and represent the Canada Discovery Bay. The Canada Discovery Bay board can certainly provide whatever influence we can provide. But as we have seen for the last couple of years, our influence of the East County...
Our influence from this town stopped our station from being closed because we were there and involved in it. That station would have been closed if we hadn't been going to those meetings and been involved in it. And I had rallied 75 people to show up and speak. I think that's literally playing with fire.
I disagree. Of course. I think we have a lot of...
What does it hurt? Why?
I just don't think that the Town of Discovery Bay needs to compensate directors to...
So it's a financial thing for you?
That's, among other things, yeah.
So you're creating a situation that you want to pay people, and you're taking away a situation that involves us in the community.
I'm creating a laser focus on that.
We had that in the committees we had. We were laser focused on what the issues were at hand. That I agree with, but it doesn't change. It's been like that. We didn't go around and talk about what flavor donuts we wanted at those meetings. We were laser focused on what was in front of us. That doesn't change, and I appreciate and I agree with you. That's the way it should be. But I've been engaged with committees for 7 years, and I'm telling you the relationships that we developed there and the amount of information that are now I agree there are some that don't, but I still think this even that ridiculous SR4 bypass whatever committee that almost cancels every meeting. That's infrastructure that affects us.
Everything affects us eventually. It's like butterflies.
That's pretty much on. That's laser focused right there. Butterflies. Okay.
Any other comments and discussions?
I think that the concept and what I'm reading works out pretty well. I think it's exactly what we're doing now. However, it allows the committees to meet on a formal basis in an informal manner. And I'll give you an example today. Our committee was to meet today, and it didn't, for whatever reason, it's fine with me. It needed to be canceled for whatever reason. I think when we're in a more formal situation where it's agendized and put out to the public, those cancellations probably won't occur as often. So I think from that standpoint, it works well. I don't see any problem with formalizing it. I too happen to agree that some of the meetings that go on in the county don't have too much relevance to water, wastewater, landscaping, etc. And I think we do need to be focused on those items. And I think it helps staff prepare. That it will take us to the next level, being a little more professional in the things that we do. We do a lot of good things here. This is just another step in really putting us as one of the best run community service districts in the state of California.
So I have a question of function. So the agenda for the Highway 4 bypass comes up, and it's going to affect say fire district. Agenda comes out for the fire district 3 days before the fire district meeting, and it's very obvious that we're not going to have a meeting between then and the meeting because they meet on Mondays and the agenda comes out on Thursday and we have our meetings on Wednesday. So there will never be an opportunity for the board to meet and decide whether or not this is something that the board has to have representation for. So this is what you're doing is eliminating. What you're saying doesn't make sense. It can't happen. It's impossible.
There's nothing in this that prohibits any member to attend any meeting. You can attend LAFCO meeting.
But I have to attend it. But I'm not attending it representing Discovery Bay.
Correct.
Well, then what's the point? I'm a board member. I should be representing my board when I go to a meeting that affects how many millions of dollars worth of structure do we have here that's susceptible to fire? I can't believe they're saying this, man. This is like ridiculous.
Well, how would you know what four other directors think? You can represent your opinion. But how did you
get that from? Because we were going to say, bring back reports. Don't put your hand up to me. That's rude.
Don't interrupt me. That's rude.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, without knowing the consensus of the board, how do you represent the board?
Because I'm a director of the board.
You are one member, yes.
Right, and I gather the information and bring it back to the board. That's my job when I go to those meetings.
There's nothing to prevent you from doing that.
Oh, but I should do it as a volunteer.
Why not?
Well, then why don't we just volunteer for all these meetings? Well, why should there be any stipends in?
You can volunteer for anything you'd like.
Because we have a responsibility to the Board of Supervisors to be an advisor to them for what's going on and what we think should happen around us, not just in Discovery Bay. That's part of our latent power. We're eliminating that from our charter.
I'm saying that five directors should give that direction, not one.
What?
Five directors should give that direction. What is the consensus of the five people sitting with this?
Well, of course, and that's what we've done. Bill, how many letters did you write to the ECCFPD or to the Board of Supervisors with regards to the fire when you were president? At least a couple, right?
Maybe one.
Okay. Maybe one? You're not even sure about that?
Correct.
Oh, really? Well, I can tell you, at least two. Okay, so your memory is not quite as good as mine. So the deal
don't agree with your assessment.
Okay, well,
my ability to think and talk.
Okay,
so help me on this one.
Okay,
obviously you're surprised. So maybe further discussion.
Well, I'm not surprised because I read the.
Well, I know that, but you're. Well, I'm gonna go. You're shocked.
I don't agree.
But let me ask you a couple questions. So I sat in the chairs out there for 2 years. Help me understand. I'm asking a question. So, and all the meetings that everybody went to, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with either side. Trust me, I'm just asking this question. When it came time for a director report, I'll bet you in 2 years it wasn't but one or two.
Every meeting gets a written report put in.
It wasn't broadcast into me. I didn't know that.
So. No, but that's our responsibility is to turn in a written report for every meeting, and it is.
Okay.
And when there was something relevant, then I would bring it up. But we also remember that Chief Henderson was coming giving reports also.
Yes,
so.
Okay.
But he doesn't represent the town of Discovery Bay.
Yeah.
So it would be redundant for me to give a report that he was giving.
Comments, questions,
I still have a hard time with the two, just having two people. The Water Wastewater Committee, a few years ago, I was active on that, and at some point I exchanged the opportunity for somebody else on the board, and those are things that are important to me at this time, and things are going to come up that are important to you at certain times, and I don't know why we can't have more information at these board meetings and not have to have these special meetings set up. And I feel like there's just going to be a workload that may be excessive at some point. Or
how is it different from what we're doing now?
I don't see why we can't just have a regular meeting. I don't see.
But wait a minute.
I don't see.
Don't we have a water wastewater meeting at a regular meeting?
Well, why don't you have one? But I don't see why you couldn't. I mean, why can't we just get an update from your StanTech, your Great.
So we're on the recreation committee together.
Right.
Okay. We go to that meeting.
We put it on the agenda and then we discuss it.
Yeah. Give an update.
Yeah.
Correct. But we went to that meeting, a staff meeting, and there's no difference in what's being proposed now.
I think there's a cost involved again too. I mean, there's a cost with the staff time, and I think there's a cost with the stipends and these type of things, having these agenda items and having the
What about the stipend going to the school board meeting?
I'm agreeable with the regional things. If I'm okay with those, I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with those local projects that we're working on and not having the visibility somehow. Maybe that's an education for all of us, but I just don't agree with it. I agree the committees have been working fine the way they have been, and I think there's plenty of time for interaction. We had talked about having more workshops regularly last year, 2 years ago, never had any. And I think that would be more engaging for the public.
I don't disagree with that. We have to be important to make that happen. We just have to direct staff to make that happen.
And I think there's a lot of activity that goes on, maneuvering and understanding what's happening at the, when we have our staff or our contractors in these working meetings. And I sometimes feel like the public I don't want somebody telling us how the bolt has to be fastened. I think we've got people in there, and I don't think they air it all out like that. So
you don't want the public involved?
I don't like the transparency problem. I have a problem with not having the whole board not being there in that discussion. If you want to open it up and make committees, I think we should all be there and have input on it. I'm okay with that.
According to the attorney, though, we can't do that.
I get it. I have a problem with having just two people there.
We got two people at our meetings now. Our regular meeting is just two people, you and I.
I would rather have the whole board there making a conversation on it.
Well,
you can't do that. That's where I think it should be done.
Well, how are we going to have a committee meeting with all five people? How many board meetings are you going to have? There's no difference in what's being proposed now, other than we formalize the information so that the general public can attend these if they wish.
I just want to say one more thing. I think we should take it to a vote on whatever we're going to do with it, or talk about it some more at another meeting, or whatever we're going to do. I forgot about the school board too, and there is some influence there that I think is necessary and beneficial to the board. But nonetheless, with regards to, Bob, you asked a question about, the authority at the meeting, right? And it's a lot different for me to stand up in front of the board of directors of the ECCFPD and fight for what's right for Discovery Bay when I say, my name's Kevin Graves and I'm a citizen of Discovery Bay, or I stand up and say, I'm Kevin Graves and I'm on the board of directors of the town of Discovery Bay, and I'm here to say that you can't take that fire department away from our town. There's a big difference there.
Absolutely.
And you're taking that away.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are, because I can't do that if I don't have the authority of the board. I can't go in there and say...
Unless you have three other votes, you don't have the authority of the board.
So I can represent myself as a board director if I have the authority from this board to go do that, and that's what we've been doing in the past. That's what we've done in the past. You've set me there as your representative. We've done this 5, 10 years before you did, and decided to change it as the second newest guy on the board. And I'm telling you, from my heart, there's a huge difference when you're fighting for the right thing for your town, whether you have the backing of your board when you go there or not. It's huge.
I understand. Here's a way that can happen. That agenda item is going to be coming up, but just use the fire district as an example. That agenda item on the fire district's agenda will be coming up, and this board will know about it. In your example, the agenda item just comes out, and nobody knew it was going to be on the agenda, the closing of the fire station, as your example. With legal's, amendment to this proposal, if we make the president the person who can make a decision to send a representative, that solves the problem, because 3 days earlier, he would get, whoever is the president at that time, the agenda, and would look at that, confer with the manager and say, hey, this is an item that's really going to affect us. Bang.
The
president can make the decision and select whoever, and they go to that meeting, they represent this board, and it's done.
You're politicizing every decision. That's what you're doing.
How am I politicizing that?
Every decision.
Oh, really? Really? because that's not the responsibility of the president by our bylaws. The president's position is to moderate the meetings and to approve the agendas. That's what the president's authority is. Now you're presenting more authority to the president than he has.
Well, that's what we're discussing this about.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what we're discussing, whether we should include that in this proposal or not. per legal counsel's offer.
Did you propose, is that what you said? Ron, I didn't hear you say that the president should be a tyrant and have a decision on who goes where.
I gave two potential options. I'm not proposing an amendment.
I gave two options,
yeah, and that was one of the options. That is correct.
Not sure why you didn't hear that, Kevin. You just mentioned it.
So can I ask, the five committees, that's not an issue, right?
I really don't have an issue with that. I think it's creating a lot of work, but okay. If that's
the
way...
No, the five committees. But then the other...
I don't know.
Going to the ECCP and all that.
To take away the ability to represent the town. Okay. That's one of the, you know, is where I have an issue.
So why don't we, if I can suggest that we look at the five committees, we can vote on those tonight, and we table the other one for more discussion.
I would be willing to separate those two things and vote on that tonight. I mean, I don't really have a big problem with that. I mean, I think it's a little bit more work, but I get the gist behind it. I'm not quite seeing how it's going to work, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Okay. Then I'll amend my proposal. Yeah. Then I'll amend my proposal to withdraw any discussion of the regional representation until a future meeting. So we're only talking about the five committees.
So you can give me some general direction, and I'll take that if you'd like. But what the motion is that you'd be looking for here this evening to accept the proposal is a motion to amend the bylaws as provided in the staff report. And you have Section 2, third full paragraph. It starts, the board shall no longer have regional committee assignments. It ends in board members may voluntarily trade committee assignments.
Wait, where are you?
I'm sorry. So Section 2, terms and responsibilities of elected officers.
Am I in the right section?
It's going to have green and red highlighting.
I'm with you. Okay, Section 2, I'm here.
Assuming you print it in color. Section 2, so the third full paragraph starts, the board shall no longer... have, and it ends in board members may voluntary trade committee. That section there, I will just take direction to remove the references with respect to regional representation. We keep calling them committees. We've got to get rid of that. But sure. Regional representation, I'll take that out. We'll amend, should this get approved with the other language, we'll amend to keep everything else other than the regional representation. This paragraph, though, got a little bit complicated for us because it's got both the regional aspect in it and the committee aspect in it because of the trade committee. So assuming you accept everything but the regional representation, I'll just take clear direction by your motion because I'm not going to try to draft that tonight.
But what you're saying is we're not doing anything different with the regional portion of it at this point. We're tabling that for a later date.
That's correct.
Okay.
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 Are we good? Yeah. Do I hear a motion to approve the approve the standing committees with regard to and then adopt the bylaws?
Motion, my suggestion would be a motion to amend the bylaws per staff recommendation with the exception of the reference to any regional representation.
Okay. So moved.
Is there a second? There's moved and seconded.
I'll second.
We have a motion in 2 seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Then the next order of business would be for the board to select the people that fill those.
You have a sheet in the back of your packet. It's a brown and brown and brown sheet. It has your board subcommittees, but we're going to, so you can see what was happened last year. You've got five now.
Well, are they any different than the five that are listed here?
The five are listed under Section 2. I think we can just use that as our...
I'm sorry, that's probably the better place. I'm referencing just a sheet so you can see who was on it, but... Going back to the packet,
so
probably
what changed?
Well, so what we're going to have...
Internal operations, that's the one that changed?
That's
okay.
So the order of selection, there will be president, vice president, pro tem, most senior, least senior.
That's correct.
And we just keep rotating.
And we all select one, and then we'll go second round, and then we're done.
Don't we go back with the last one first on the second round?
You'd like that, but no. Okay.
There was a point when I would like that. You tried them.
I will select the finance committee.
Can I just ask, I'm sorry, I know, number five, internal operations, what was it in the past?
It wasn't, but that's...
There was only four?
I do like that.
Never...
No, it's going to provide some understanding. I like that.
You need the mic on the manager.
Vice President. See, we can agree on something.
Vice President.
I'm going to take water, wastewater.
So, what did you get?
I took finance. Pro temp.
Chris.
I'll look at Chris and say, yeah.
I'd like to work on the park and rec.
I'm going to take water and wastewater.
And?
I'll take finance.
I will select internal operations.
Civil law, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I like that.
That's great. Chris?
What's left is communications. All right, I'll...
You have some history there.
Parks and rec.
Guess what?
Yeah, go ahead.
As long as you pick communications, you've got it.
Actually, I would like that.
Well, guys, that was fun.
That was easy. Thank you all very much. That concludes item number, whatever it is.
No.
We used to have a contest for the shortest meeting. I think Bob's in contention. For the longest meeting.
Yes.
So this is item, just for the record, this is item F5. Suggest that you take any... Yeah, but you need a motion here. So
I would move that we take the appointments as volunteered in motion 5 to those committees, something like that.
Perfect.
Second.
Carol is excellent at making crap up.
All in favor.
Aye.
Motion approved. Okay, informational items in your packet. No presentations. The director's comments.
No, just that you guys probably all saw that Hugh Anderson is as resigned as the...
March is...
Oh, yeah, we all know that could be signed.
He's retired.
Yeah, he's retired. He actually started off as a policeman.
Manager's report.
And with Hugh, I was the actual guy who trained.
That's right. I remember that.
On the manager's report, I'm going to make this real quick because of a long meeting. But the solar dryer B panel has been replaced. Do we have a price on that?
$500.
So we got out of it pretty cheap.
Just while you're on that, any other damage at all after that?
I know you couldn't look at it this evening, but
when they were up there, they found some that are cracked from wear and tear, so they'll be back to do a more formal assessment, and we'll have to get those replaced.
Okay.
But that's roughly what the cost would be, 500 panels, something like that?
Well, we had the panels, and they were just charging us...
Labor.
So okay. Those, we have to buy some material.
I might ask last time, what was the warranty from the manufacturer on
this? These are all called for public finance. Just say as attendance and previous, they called
They were made from General Electric data, and I believe they were 7 years old.
We haven't had them 7 years.
No, we have 2004.
Right, so wouldn't that cover the panel then?
2004, that's 12 years.
Yeah. This was on the old set.
Just the old ones.
Oh,
7
outside.
Minus 12 is 5.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. And I've got some good news for today.
For all of you.
Contra Costa Environmental Health has contacted us and to let us know that they have not tested any positives for blue-green algae, and they haven't observed any of those plumes. So they are saying that cautiously, it's safe for swimming again, but keep your eyes open because it could return. That information has been updated on our website.
I would hope with all the flushing we've had with the rains, it would be
okay. Sam, you can swim.
That concludes my report.
Okay. Legal.
Well, I've said more than I needed to tonight.
Thank you very much. Any subcommittee reports?
correspondence, you put your agenda items. Motion for adjournment.
There's a public frame.
Oh.
It's so noted.
Can I say thank you? I received it.
Was it timed?
Yes. The only thing I need to ask Bill is to put it up on next door that you received documentation.
Communications, you guys need to get all that next door.
I know.
That's fun stuff, let me tell you.
Yeah, so could I just ask a question to Rod?
Sure, can I make a suggestion though? Because I think some staff want to get out of here. If you want to ask it on the record, that's fine. But no. You still have a public financing committee meeting.
Yes, we do. Does that mean I can't answer questions?
Go ahead.
Is this a meeting adjourned?
I'll take the question. I'm just reminding you.
Just so that they know what the question is. I would like to understand the legality of getting on to Nextdoor. I think the proposal is good. Nextdoor was rot with errors. And unfortunately, Facebook, same thing as we see.
After CNN,
which way, sometimes you hit it on the button.
Sure. There is no legal requirement that you cannot, as we're finding out from the president, that you can't tweet everything that you are thinking.
Yes.
Social media is one of those avenues that you're free to use. My recommendation, and after 20 years of experience in doing this with all sorts of public agencies, is stay off of social media.
Yeah.
Keep your stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to open your own Twitter account, great. If you want to open your own Facebook page for Discovery Bay, great. But you have a website, and the state mandates that you keep the website in a certain manner. I'm actually going to go speak to the gentleman afterwards and find out why he's having difficulty. He says it's difficult to find things, so we need to find out why that's difficult to find things, and I would adjust your website rather than participate in social media.
Okay.
And my recommendation, though.
Even to refer to the website?
You do not manage, nor are you responsible for the. I just looked at it. The neighbor thing. My suggestion would be not to cross.
I don't have a problem with that.
Cross mix.
So I'm trying to.
Katie's reminding me of the other really important issue that goes along with social media. And that is serial meetings.
Yes.
Commenting on them and by tweeting and by posting things on there, you can create a serial meeting by how you're going to vote on certain things. I can't stress upon it enough, and I'm younger enough to be involved in the social media era, but cautious enough and old enough to say for public agencies, it's not my recommendation.
Okay. And the last thing I would have is the one thing we heard tonight. We heard many things tonight, but the one big one was communications. So we now have a committee with communications, and I think we've got to get working on that real quick.
We were just talking that it's got to go out to everybody all over again, and I don't know how that got lost in translation, but I agree. It was supposed to go out to everybody. I'm not sure. Figure it out later.
Okay.
Got a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
There a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn. Now we're opening up the regular meeting of the Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority.
Aye. Not yet. Whatever.
Okay. Roll call. Everybody's here. Pledge of Allegiance, we'll dismiss that because we did it at the previous meeting.
Dina. Are you? Can you stand? I'll call you tomorrow.
This is all
I'll call you
take.
Tomorrow. No, I'll call you tomorrow. Minutes. I'll call you tomorrow.
Any public comment? No public comment.
Oh my God.
Consent calendar. Yes.
Second.
All discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
June. Consideration of adopting resolution 2017-2.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Any chair or members' comments? There's hearing none. Motion for adjournment. Motion for adjournment.
I make my motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion second. We are
adjourned. I'll make sure I.